the title of the message this morning is, do you want a promotion? How many would like a raise at work right now? Raise, raise, raise. Well, the rest of you are all rich, huh? You don't need a raise. None of my staff members raised their hands. And so we're going to cut those raises out, and I'll just come by. You did? Old people don't count. You're going to be getting your Social Security, what, is that like 1 or 2 years? Matthew chapter 20. This morning, truthfully, God has a way to promote his people. And we want to understand that. And it's so important that we understand that man's ways are not God's ways. And now, if some man's doing it right, it's because he picked up on God's ways. And so now, really, in our culture, and it's all over the world, it has been since the fall of man, you know, the way to get a promotion is push yourself up and knock the other guy down and, you know, protest in front and, you know, get in a union. Hi, Mario. And, you know, have the union fight for your rights and, you know, fight for it. And, man, this is what we deserve. And God says the total opposite. God says his ways are not our ways. By the way, don't you think that the Bible says we are the light of the world? Okay, you know, we sing as in the children's church, hide it under a bushel. No, God does not want to hide his people. God wants to put his people in a visible place so that his truth, first of the gospel, then his word, can be magnified all over the place. And so if you work somewhere, and you're like, nobody knows, and we're not trying to be known to be known. We're trying to be known so that we can let him be known. And so how to get a promotion? Let's stand together, Matthew chapter 20. We're going to look at verse 20. Then came to him, Matthew 20, verse 20, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons. These are some of the disciples. So they came to Jesus with her two sons. Now remember, we're thinking, you know, Jesus' disciples, we picture them with beards like 35 years old. Most of Jesus' disciples were teenagers. Okay? That's why I think we ought to teach our teenagers to be adults. The Jewish people, when the children turn 12, they have a bar mitzvah, and it's like, you're an adult now. Okay, so treat them like an adult. You treat them like children. But anyway, so here's Zebedee's children, the mother of Zebedee's children, with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing. So she comes to Jesus, mom comes to Jesus, in verse 21, and said unto her, what wilt thou? Jesus sensed that she had a desire, and then she saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit the one on thy right hand and the other on the left hand in thy kingdom. So she was sort of eternally minded. So she said, hey, can my children like be the hot shots in heaven? You know, I know we're not supposed to be hot shots down here, okay? Verse 22, but Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. And he saith unto them, Jesus said, ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on the right hand of my on the right hand and on my left is not mine to give. So he's actually explaining to her very graciously. He's not rebuking her, not correcting her at this time. But it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. So God the Father is going to take care of all that. Verse 24, and when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against two brothers. Now here, by the way, I like that. I love the Bible. If for no other reason, it's so real. So transparent. So here's mom. You guys should not have let your mom do that. mom comes, the two boys come to Jesus and say, hey, can one be on the right hand, one on the left in the kingdom, blah, blah, blah. And he explains, no, that's for the father to give. And then the 10 are listening to the whole conversation. They're going, those rats. Those guys. You say, why? Because their moms weren't here. They didn't have a chance to, you know, it's like, man, I missed that opportunity. Aren't you glad that people in the Bible are just like you and me? You know, we're always trying to get that, you know, man, I missed that opportunity. And so they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. They're going, oh, man, those guys put their mom up that. Verse 25, but Jesus called them unto him. He said, all right, guys, we're going to have a huddle. And said, of course, Jesus knew what was going on. There was jealousy. There's envy going on here. There was pride going on here. And then he said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles, talking about the unsaved people, exercise dominion over them. And they that are great exercise authority over them. By the way, great in the world's eyes. But, verse 26, shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. By the way, the word minister is serve, someone who's a servant. And whosoever, verse 27, will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered or to be served unto, but to minister or to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Father, help us as your people to understand it's okay to be promoted, but we should be promoted your way. Help us to have the mind of Christ and help us to live like Jesus, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Turn to one more portion of Scripture, John chapter 13. So Jesus very nicely corrected everybody, and he was gracious about it. He said, guys, don't be like the unsaved people. By the way, the more you're around the unsaved people, the more you become like them. And be careful. We're in the world, but not of the world. So when we're in the world, we should have a purpose. Let our light shine. Get the gospel out, okay? But be careful about letting the world, John 13, penetrate our minds, and we become like the world. John 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And the supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simeon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that's the providence of God, sovereignty of God, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. It's like, wow, what's all this about? So he grabs a towel. Okay, so he gives a picture. Judas Iscariot is about to betray him. And what's one of the last things Jesus does in just before all this unfolds? So he grabs a towel, girds himself, verse 5, and after that he poureth into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. Now, look up here just a minute. If you don't understand this, just go home and you'll figure this out. One of the ugliest parts of our body is our feet. Our feet are ugly. They're just ugly. Now, I have fat feet. I inherited that from my dad. My dad had fat feet. My children, they don't want you to see their feet. Okay? Now, during the Bible days, their feet were uglier, because they wore sandals, and there were not sidewalks all over, and there wasn't a lot of paved parking lots, and so there was dirt in their toenails. There was crud between their toes, and I don't mean the little fuzzies get stuck in there, but crud. Okay, so we got to look at this in its context. It's not, you know, well, maybe these disciples had a manicured toe. No, they didn't. No manicured toenails, okay? This was a dirty, let's go ahead and say it, stinky. By the way, some of us have halitosis of the feet, okay? And you need to be careful. For whatever reason, maybe it's your diet, maybe it's genetic, but it's like, listen, when people are going, Okay, it's bleeding through your shoes. Okay, so let's, you know, we just part of it. So Jesus grabs this towel, and he walks over to the disciples, okay, and he begins, the Bible says, to wash their feet. And look at verse number, where did we leave off? 5. So he poured them in the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now, again, this isn't just something that 2,000 years later we think is sort of gross. They thought it was gross that the Savior, God in the flesh, would be cleaning their feet. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. So he's going one by one washing feet. By the way, some churches still do this. This is, you know, they have the Lord's Supper, they have baptism, and then it's like the fourth Sunday of the month we're doing foot washing. That's when everybody cuts their toenails, cleans their feet, you know, what is it, Dr. Scholl's foot powder or something like that? You know, we take care of all that stuff. But then he comes to Peter and saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And he's like, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet, right? Verse 7, and Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt not wash my feet. Jesus answered, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter, by the way, Simon Peter was an extremist. It's black or white. I mean, he's either going for it or he's not, okay? So Simon Peter says unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. So Jesus said, hey, if I can't wash your feet, I have no part with you. He said, hey, wash everything because I want to be a part of you. I like him. He gets his foot stuck in his mouth often, but that is how it is with sort of type A personalities. Verse 10, Jesus saying to him, he that washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean, ever wit, and ye are clean, but not all. Speaking of Judas, for he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, ye are not clean. Verse 12, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? He said, you guys know, verse 13, he said, ye call me master. Oh, that master is capitalized. That's deity. And Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. And he agrees. Verse 14. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. And you say, what's the point? The point is this. Jesus saying, hey, I must be a servant, and so all of you need to be a servant. By the way, I like the definition. There's many good definitions of what a servant is, but I like the definition. It's not original for me, but a servant is one who seeks to make successful in the eyes of God those God has called him to serve. Okay? We should serve our leaders. We should serve our subordinates. We should serve our peers. Okay? We had Jesus, the leader, serving his followers, and we had Jesus commanding his followers to serve each other. Let me share a few thoughts. Number one, there's a reward for real servants. By the way, serving is humbling. You say, what do you mean serving is humbling? Okay, we say, hey, listen, the janitors are all on vacation today. Can we have some volunteers to vacuum after church? You know who they're going to be? A couple junior hires. That's usually what it is. There might be a couple of them. You say, why? Because it goes against our nature. And by the way, I'm not saying I'd be the first one to vacuum. You say, why? It's humbling. It's humbling, okay? By the way, and we're going to read here, God gives grace to the humble. It goes against our nature. You know what we want? We want the big job. We go on the job site. It's like, hey, put me on the most expensive and nicest equipment out there so I look good. Oh, you've all been there, huh? Don't put me in the elevator pit with a pick because I'm better than that. By the way, none of us are better than anything. Okay? Oh, God, nothing out here. No, you know what? You know what Jesus is saying? You know what? A real servant will go out there. Hey, Brother Ratana, what do you think? Do you need me to sweep? Well, wait a minute. I'm a certified welder. Do you need me to sweep? You say, where do we get this mentality? From work. From the world. You know what Jesus said? Pick up your towel, go to the basin, get the water, and start washing some feet. There's a reward for real servants. Don't turn there because of time. James 4, 6 through 10, but he giveth more grace. Grace is the desire and power to do the will of God. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Listen to this. In conclusion, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. You want to be lifted up? You want to be lifted up at work? You want to be lifted up in the ministry? You want to be lifted up in our society? You want to be lifted up in the eyes of God? God says, humble yourself. Take the dirty job. Joseph served his father. Joseph served Potiphar. Joseph served the jailer. Joseph served Pharaoh, and the Lord lifted him up. By the way, God knows how to lift us up. But they don't know me in the front office. God knows you right where you are. But the boss doesn't even know that I work here because they got me way on the other side of the office building. God knows where you are. David served his father as a shepherd with the sheep. David served Saul in menial tasks, and he served his people, and the Lord lifted him up and rewarded him. Nehemiah served King Artaxerxes, and the Lord lifted him up. Remember, there is a reward for true servants. Number two, the Lord has chosen for leaders, please get this, to promote people, and leaders are very attracted to those with a servant spirit. The Lord is, you say, how do you practically, now we're sort of mixing, it all works together, how do you practically put all this together, promotion? Do you know who promotes you? The leader. But God has a formula. Okay, Ryan has a concrete business, okay? And all of a sudden, he's got four workers. And they all have the same skill level, and they all have the same work ethic. But there's one of those guys that said, hey, Ryan, I just want to let you know, I'm here to make you successful. You know, he goes, can you say that one more time? He says, I'm not here to look good. I'm here to make your business prosper. You know what Ryan goes over? He gets his lunch. He's going, oh, I like that guy. And now all of a sudden, Ryan needs a supervisor. He's like, man, I can't handle all. I got 10 concrete jobs. They're all gone. He's got these four guys. He's going, one of these guys, if I put him over this whole deal, I'm going to have to pay him. Or he's going, he doesn't use his terminology. He's going, I'm taking the servant. Okay, Joel, you're the guy. By the way, maybe Joel has a limp, but he's like, hey, you know what? It doesn't matter if you have a limp. It doesn't matter if your right eye isn't working right. He says, you have a good work ethic, and you're a servant, and you're not ambitious. The difference in a servant, you say, what's the contrast? Or what's the opposite of a servant? Someone who's ambitious, out for themselves. A servant is out for his peers. A servant is out for his subordinates. A servant is out for the leader. Someone who's ambitious, just they're out for themselves. Amen? By the way, I didn't learn this until I went to Bible college, and they taught us this, and they said, listen, we were bus workers. And they said, they had this little phrase, they said, the guy, by the way, we all want to be a bus captain, because a bus captain, you had your own bus. It's your own bus. You drive out and you have a bus driver and you have bus workers and you go into these neighborhoods and win kids and teenagers and adults to Christ and bring them to church. It was just something that was exciting. And we wanted, he said, how do you become a bus captain? They said this, the guy that picks up the broom becomes the next bus captain. See, what do you mean pick up the broom? Everybody can pick up the broom. You get a bunch of dirty, snotty-nosed bus kids from the ghettos of Chicago on a bus with bologna sandwiches smashed in the back of the buses, and they, you say, Pastor, when they drop their Fritos, do they pick them up? No, they smash them with their feet. Okay? Or maybe they brought a fish anchovy sandwich. Smashed. At the end of the day, someone's got to clean the bus. And they say, whoever cleans the bus, whoever picks up the broom, by the way, it's not really a broom. You need like a wire brush. You say, why? They were teaching us to be servants. And by the way, I said, I'm going to pick up the broom. I would fight to pick up the broom. I'm like, man, we dropped that last kid off. I'm going to go get the broom. And I'd be in the back and I'd be sweeping the bus. Okay? And by the way, it worked. Bus captain recommended me to be a bus captain. Then we as a bus captain, we tried to serve the bus, other bus captains, and serve the division leaders. And the next thing you know it, they gave us another promotion. The Lord has chosen for leaders to promote people. Let me say this. If you want a promotion, don't criticize your boss in the lunchroom. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, a little birdie is going to tell him. He knows. He knows. You say, well, you know, and I'm not messing with the unions. I know it doesn't work like that with the union, but we don't all work for unions. My son Daniel this summer, he's helping on the job site. I said, son, come here. He said, no, he just turned 18 yesterday or sometime recently. I said, let me tell you how this works, okay? You're not playing basketball. You know, this is no longer basketball, okay? This is the real world. I said, you go out there and you come in early. Don't come in at, you know, we're starting at 8, you know, running at 7:50. Don't do that. I said, you come in early. I said, you know what? And Brother Albert, I don't know if he does this. I don't know. I don't check on him. I just said, this is what you do. I said, come in early. I said, and you find out who's in charge and say, what do you need? He's like, hey, it's not time to work yet. What do you need? So come in early. And then you know, when the whistle blows, when you see everyone's feet. By the way, there's no such thing as a lazy man, just one that's not motivated. 5 minutes before the whistle blows, all those people that were dragged around at work, man, they're front center, ready to go. You know, if you've worked in a factory somewhere. I said, son, then when everyone else is leaving, stick around. Hey, wait, I came in early. I ought to be able to. No entitlement around here. I said, have a servant spirit. I said, let the guys in charge know that you're here available. You'll sweep, you'll dig, whatever needs to be done. The Lord is actually the one that rewards you. Colossians 3:22 and 23, and don't turn there because of time. Servants obey in all things. Okay, they had servant master, that was employer-employee relationship, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily. By the way, he's talking about work. He's not talking about missionaries. He's not talking about assistant pastors. He's talking about work. He said, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward. What's he saying? He said, listen, when you go to work, go there, not as a man pleaser, but work. I learned this when I got a really good job when I was in Bible college to pay my bill. I worked at a steel mill. And I couldn't catch the production, man. You got to fill out a production sheet and turn it in, and the production was slow. Okay? By the way, what gets measured gets done. And they were measuring. We'd cut the steel. It'd be a big coil of steel. It'd go through this machine, and then we'd cut it, and we'd put it on these, what do you call them, like 4x4s with band. We have to band it, and then they bring it over the scale, and they weigh it, and then we have to put it on the paper. And then my boss came up, I'm going to fire you. Welcome to the real world of work. And I actually got a sermon tape, two sermon tapes, I think one by Dr. Evans and one by my pastor on a good Christian employee. And they showed me this verse in the message. I'm like, wow, don't go there. I had one boss, his name was Charlie. He cussed. He was your typical, by the way, that was a union job too, Mario, just to let you know. He typical, you know, guy in the cigar, cussed and all that. But he came and said he was going to fire. Make a long story short, I changed my attitude. I'm not working for Charlie. I'm not working for Dietrich's. I'm working for Jesus. Man, my production went up. You say why? I believe God made my production go up. And I got promotions, and I got, listen, this one guy told me, he said, do you know that the boss that was going to fire me, his name was Charlie, he was unsaved. He said, one of the employers, he said, the day after work, they all go to the bar. They said, all Charlie does is brags about you in the bars. So I was being talked about in the bars, amen? The Lord is actually the one that rewards you. And then, number four, quickly, we should serve each other. So we get rewarded. God is the one that rewards us. So we're not teaching us to be man pleasers. Jesus is teaching us to be God pleasers, but to have a servant spirit, and then we should serve each other. We read there in John 13:14, if I then your Lord, capital, that's God, and master, capital letters, deity, your God, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. You know what God is saying? We need to serve each other. I was at Filipino camp, and it's Brother Ladio. I was kidding about Brother Ladio. He was in charge of the activities. He's not a staff member. He doesn't get paid. But you know what? He was serving. And by the way, it was work. You know when you go to and he had to pay. You got to pay. You pay, you go up there, and he's got all responsibility. Got to make sure that, you know, no one's fighting on the volleyball court. You know, make sure the girls are all being good Christians. No arguments, right? No laughing. But he was, you know what he was doing? He was serving his fellow brothers and sisters. And I'm sure many others. They go up there, and they probably, I don't know if they all ate together. I don't know how it all worked. But we're supposed to serve one another. By the way, we have a church filled with servants. One reason God blesses this church is because we have a servant spirit. Okay? We're not out to boast ourselves up. We're not out to get a promotion, but we're trying to be like Jesus. And Jesus says, I'm your master. I'm your Lord. I washed your feet. You ought to wash each other's feet. Helping others to be successful in God's eyes. I got a text from John Castle this morning. He said, hey, Pastor, you know, one of the brothers, and he's going to be a bus driver, and one new guy's going to be baptized this morning, and a couple of people, they're going to join the church. You know what he's doing? He's trying to help the people in his class be successful in the eyes of God. By the way, let me say this. As pastor, ooh, you're up there. You're higher than us. No, according to God, I ought to be lower than you. Ought to be the one. Jesus is the one that was washing the feet first. We like to use the little term servant leadership. Well, I like to be up there telling everybody what to do. No, you know what? If we get up here, guess what? We have more people to serve. We're not up here the hired guns thinking we're somebody. But no, you know what we're here? We're here to serve you. We're here to serve your children. We're here to serve your teenagers. We're here to help you with your marriage if you need it. We're here to help you with, you know, someone's going to move in the church. Hey, let's get together. Somebody have a truck. Okay. By the way, that's what brothers and sisters are for, right? By the way, if you have a truck, when someone's moving, you better go out of town for a couple days. They're calling you. There's not enough trucks in one church, okay? People are moving all the time. oh, brother so-and-so has a truck, man, you know. But that's what we're here for. We're here to serve. I talked to a guy one time. He said, yeah, now the higher you go up, the just, you know, the just more you get to do and don't have to do much. I said, Doc, you are so off the charts. The higher you go up, the more people you have to serve. And by the way, I say if Jesus said it, we get to serve. Okay? Because really the servant is the greatest according to what Jesus said. Okay? By the way, you're brand new in our church, we're here to serve you. Maybe you're struggling with your marriage. Maybe you're struggling with some area in your life. As God's people, we have God's word. We're here to help. And by the way, if I can't help you, or Brother Pineda can't help you, or Brother Myers can't help you, you know what we do? We try to find someone that can help you. That's what we're here for. We're here to serve you. We're here to help you to be successful in the eyes of God. We're here to help your marriage. We're here to help your family. We're here to help you find your purpose. One of the things that I like to do now with men, they come to me and we're talking. I say, what's the dream? They're like, huh? My wife kicked me out of the house. What do you mean, what's the dream? Sometimes I'll say something like this. Maybe if you're fulfilling the purpose that God has you, your wife wouldn't be kicking you out of the house. You say, what do you mean? Look, I'm 50. How old am I? 52. I'll be 53 next month. I'm 53 years old. Man, time's running out. It's almost over. You say, what do you want to do? I don't want to mess around with life anymore. I want to challenge our people. Hey, guys, 3 score and 10. Life is a vapor. It's almost over. Listen, when you're born, it's almost over. Amen. Let's give it everything we got for God. And you know what? That's where exciting life is. Oh, well, you know, I saw this brother with a new car. The new cars don't stay new very long. And if you have children, they're going to mess it up. The no cokes in the car policy doesn't last very long. It just doesn't. You get everybody mad and you say, forget it. I'd rather have a dirty car and everybody happy. So when I ask men, I say, what's the dream? They sort of like go into a trance. I say, I mean, what's deep down in your soul? If they're a Christian, then they start saying things. I'm like, wow. Really, and I believe when I say that, it's like God has already spoke to them, but no one's ever really touched that part of their life. You say, what are you doing? By the way, we were taught in Bible college that we use the ministry to help the people. We don't use the people to help the ministry. That's what a servant church is, okay? So we should serve each other. And then serving others is the way you truly serve the Lord. You say, well, how do you serve the Lord? You serve others. Jesus is not going to walk in that door right there. And if he does, we're all going to go, right? Is that really him? Okay, he's not going to walk in that door. Matthew, you could look it up when you go home, but I'll just give you the one. Look at Matthew 25. Matthew 25, 40, the Bible says, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these brethren, you have done it unto me. Look up here, we're done. How do you serve the Lord? Some people are waiting for some spooky experience. It ain't going to happen. It might happen if you go to Starbucks and drink like 45 ounces of their coffee. But it'll be gone. It ain't happening. There's no spooky experience. You go to some spooky church, as soon as you leave, the experience is gone. Okay, you say, how do you really serve Jesus? You serve people. Those Brother Eric, that crew that was there, I wasn't there, over in Maywood, they showed up. That's their Saturday. That's their day off. They went out to try to reach that little community for Christ. You know what they were doing? They were serving Jesus. My son sent this to me, like, what, 1 o'clock in the morning. And this is a little poem or something like that. I woke up tired this morning, but I took time to read and pray. I asked the Lord to use me and to make the best use of my day. My schedule was packed. There was much to be done. I had to get to the office without talking to anyone. But before I arrived, someone was at my door. He needed some of my time, but more than I wanted to give, for sure. Then came an older man whom I helped many a day, but this time I was so busy I wanted to stop with, okay, I'll pray. Then came a widow and someone with obvious sorrow. To be honest, I thought, can't you just come tomorrow? But it didn't stop there. I started to complain. Lord, don't you know my schedule? I said with disdain. But the Lord in his love spoke and said, don't you see? What you do to the least of these, you've done unto me. Turn off the screen and silence the phone. You have the opportunity for gold, silver, and precious stones. It was a hard lesson, and I learned it today, that my thoughts aren't like his and my ways not his way. If I want to please him and lay up treasures above, sometimes it takes stopping and showing someone his love. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed.